Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you all so much, as always, for tuning in. J. Paul Getty, John Paul Getty.
JPG.
So cartoonishly cheap.
JPEG.
Incredibly, incredibly cheap JPEG was. He's a miser. He's a skinflint. He never met a penny he didn't think should be his.
Where is the origin of skin flint? It makes me, I know we're a family show, but it makes me think of skin flute.
Oh boy.
Now we're going to learn to, you know, you can put together what you will with that one, but that's what I always think of when I hear skin flint. What is the origin? I must know.
It comes from the fact that flint flint is such a brittle and hard material that you can't remove the skin of a flint without shattering it. So people who try to do that are so cheap that they just won't buy more flint. This was back when flint was a much more active part of most people's lives for fire
starting. Got it. Man, the more you know. Whatever. Theme music. Yeah, JPEG. Oh, man. Can't believe we went through a whole episode without making that connection.
I have another, there's another coworker of ours that I call JPEG. I used to call Casey Pegram CPEG, and he didn't like it.
Yep, CPEG is good.
So he retired but
he didn't JPEG. Like that?
He didn't like it.
Oh. He didn't like it?
He's a very particular dude.
That's fair. Lovely dude. I got to see Casey Pegram in corporeal form the other day.
A week or so ago, right?
Yeah, we did a training sesh at the new office, and there he was, same as he ever was. It'd been over a year since we'd seen each other in person. It was really lovely.
Yeah, he's a great dude. That's super producer Max.
And Tazai.
You're Noel, and yeah. I'm Ben.
No bro. You can call me no bro.
I want to point out that I let you guys call me a million different nicknames.
You do, Freight Train. You do.
Yeah, yeah. I think y'all should just remember that.
Okay. You
know? Well, when it comes time to deed our estate to someone?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You'll ruin this empire. Well, first we have to make it an empire. And what better way than starting with part two of this two-part series on the saga of the Getty family with thanks to our research associate, Dr. Zach. We saved this because we thought it was a natural break in the story. I don't know what kind of sound cues this results in, but we need to... all right, when we previously left you without a dope beat to step to, we were talking about the beginning of this kidnapping. The golden hippie of Rome, John Paul Getty III, had been kidnapped. A ransom note had been sent. The mob was after some of that sweet, sweet Getty money. Now, Kidnapping rich folks is an age-old enterprise. It continues here in 2022 today. Be careful, but...
Or even just like kidnapping Americans of moderate means, because the currency is often so much more valuable.
Right, but we have we've introduced some of our characters here. We talked about Gale. We talked about the leader of the 'Ndrangheta at the time, Cinquanta. But as smart as the mafioso were, Bush would say they misunderestimated how Getty Sr. looked at the world. The old man, the old man did not take kindly to threats, and he certainly didn't like anybody touching money. Money in general. The thing about billionaires, you know, there's a good case to be made. This might be a hot take. There's a good case to be made that being a billionaire might qualify you for certain mental conditions. Like I have
megalomania.
Right. Well, like the idea is, I think it was John Cleese from Monty Python. He had this great example about it. He said, let's think of chocolate. A lot of people like chocolate. If you come to my house and you open the fridge, you might see a bit of chocolate and you think, oh, he's a nice guy. He's like me. He likes chocolate. But if you walked into my house and it was filled to the ceiling with chocolate and I asked if you had any chocolate in your pocket and you did and I got angry at you, then that is what being a billionaire is like. You're angry that other people have a thing.
Right. And, you know, JPEG, John Paul Getty, the main... He was incredibly thrifty because he did not get his thrills from spending money. He got his thrills from making money, from amassing money, from stacking that chocolate. And that is usually oftentimes the case for folks that come from this kind of generational wealth, especially if something you did led to it ballooning, you know, which we know that John Paul Getty... He did have some business acumen, and he was a good steward of that more modest family fortune that came before him, and then he turned it into an outright empire. And you don't build empires by giving handouts,
right? Yeah, at least not a Getty style fortune. So this guy was so cheap, folks. So very, like, beyond thrifty, okay? I'm an Eagle Scout. I get it. Thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Those are all good things. But he took it too far, you could say. And you could also say he had to be this, have to have this sort of mindset to reach his financial position. But he was known as a skinflint and a miser in his day. He was always looking for a loophole, a tax deduction. He was the type of dude who, if he ever went into a civilian grocery store, you could be dang sure he was looking for manager specials. He got coupons. He might have been the type of guy to poke a hole in something and demand a discount because he, quote unquote, found it that way. That's how cheap this guy is.
Crazy town. Yeah. Manipulatively cheap.
I like that. Yeah.
The Time magazine article on the history of the Getty kidnapping by Olivia B. Waxman summed it up beautifully. His penny pinching had become legend. He eats simply, dresses well, but inexpensively, spends about $280 a week for personal needs. He once took a party of friends to a dog show in London. The admission fee was 5 shillings, about 70 cents American, but a sign over the entrance said half price after 5 p.m. It was then 12 minutes to 5, said billionaire Getty. Let us take a walk around the block for a few minutes. Like it was planning it all along, a lovely stroll. The Time magazine article goes on.
Yeah, this is a long quote, so we're going to split it up. So on another occasion, he was persuaded by British-born author and actress Ethel Levin to send some silk ties to famed art critic Bernard Berenson, whom she and Getty had just visited while preparing for their book Collector's Choice, which is a well-reviewed narrative of their hunt for art treasures. Getty caught Levin writing from Paul and Ethel on the accompanying card. He immediately demanded she pay half the cost of the ties on the ground that she was getting half the credit for the gift. That's unnecessarily aggressive.
It's rough. Yeah. So bad. It's rough. There are other stories. This stuff is honestly legend. Like he I think it's something to do with a phone book, a phone booth. Somewhere.
Yeah,
What was that story?
He was, so the way this story goes, he was getting a renovation done on a British estate and he installed a payphone during the construction. And so if you were his guest and you came over, you had to pay for your own phone calls. Later, after construction was complete, he did apparently remove it. But during that time, he was like, if that call is important, that's on you, you know? I can't remember who it was. It might have been Ice-T who had a vending machine installed in his mansion. And when his friends came over and wanted snacks, he just told them to go to the vending machine.
Wow. It's not very hospitable, is it? Ice-T...
I can't remember specifically him, but yeah, that's
doesn't sound very on brand for Ice-T. He seems pretty generous to me. I hope that's not true.
I hope so too. I hope I'm remembering a different person, but there's definitely a person who's done that. So this is what the mafia was not aware of. They weren't aware of the mindset of this guy, of John Paul Getty. And he also seemed to be very cold to people who were family members, even if they weren't useful to the business enterprise. He might be at best indifferent to them, but he also would, as sad as it is to say, he seemed to consider some of them irrelevant, including his youngest son, Timothy Ware Getty. Timothy had a lot of health problems from very young age. He had a brain tumor that caused him to go blind at age 6, and he passed away when he was 12 years old, and his father did not go to the funeral. Can you imagine?
Yeah, apparently has an aversion to weddings and funerals. And I don't know, maybe just an aversion to life, to other people. You know, he seems like one of those guys that would just prefer just to, again, swim in his sea of coins.
Do you think he talks to money? Like, is his best friend his first dollar bill or something?
Yeah, it just strikes me, Ben, like people like this, they can't have very happy lives. You know, they've got all the money in the world. Just throw that catchphrase around again because it's appropriate here. But what kind of fulfillment, you know, 5 wives, seemingly, you know, no meaningful relationship with family. What's the point of it all, you know, if not to have a happy life, you know? I mean, I guess it's about legacy. Again, back to Succession, it does seem like legacy and this idea of being larger than life and having your, you know, your name carry on, you know, well past your death. And obviously, if we know anything about the Getty Foundation, all of the things associated with Getty, that certainly did happen. So if that's what he was, you know, banking on, then I guess good on you. But he just didn't seem to be a particularly jolly fellow.
Yeah, agreed. And this is, you know, it can be tough to understand the inner workings of another person's mind. It's always a little bit of a black box, but we can measure people by their actions, right? And his actions seem to consistently prize growth of his financial empire over the well-being of his social relationships and his family. He even... this is from a great Rolling Stone article by Amelia McDonald Perry. Apparently, during the time his 5th son was going through all these medical problems, J. Paul Getty told his wife that she was spending too much money on his son's medical care. Like, that's also, again, that's Arctic level cold.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we know that the mob was not aware, really, of the guy they were messing with. They didn't know the nature of the bear they were poking. And they were thinking, all right, we'll set this ransom at $17 million U.S. That is an ungodly amount of money for most people, but John Paul Getty is a billionaire. And so it's not going to hurt him at all, especially if we're saying you do this to save your grandson. But what they didn't know is J. Paul Getty liked his grandson's mom. He liked Gail. He thought she was cool, but he didn't like this grandson. He considered him feckless. And then we're talking about this off air. One of the things that stayed with this guy, who held on to grudges as tightly as he held on to money, by the way, he was still mad at his grandson because one time his grandson showed up wearing trainers, sneakers, basically, to visit him at this two-door manor house, Sutton Place.
Oh, the gall.
Exactly.
Of this unwashed whippersnapper whelp turning up to the manor in trainers. Ugh.
I know. Feckless means irresponsible, lacking strength of character.
Yeah. Shiftless labor. Exactly. But he committed a worse offense. He was a hippie.
And the also, golden hippie. Of
the
Rome.
Golden hippie. And JPG. Old JPEG also, you know, didn't like the fact that he seemed to be following in his father's footsteps, you know, who had moved to Rome and got on the horse and all that stuff and made a bit of a, you know, dragged the family name through the mud a little bit in his eyes. So he said he wanted nothing to do with either of them until they, quote, changed their ways. So he was definitely passing down some moral authority kind of judgment from on high.
So he alleges a conspiracy and he says, my grandson has staged this crisis because he's after money. And then later when he realizes, no, he didn't stage the crisis. The golden hippie, that's his most famous nickname, had in fact been kidnapped by the mob. He doubled down. He still blamed his grandson, the golden hippie, for, quote, getting kidnapped in the first place and thereby involving him and his grandfather with the dreaded mafia. This is all according to a guy named John Pearson, the author of a great book called Painfully Rich, The Outrageous Fortune and Misfortune of the Heirs of J. Paul Getty.
Yeah, talk about victim blaming.
Right. And the truth seems to be that the old man has been well aware of the possibility of kidnapping and extortion well before the grandson, the golden hippie, disappeared. And because John Paul Jr. had kind of fallen out of contact with his dad, it fell to Gail to go to the old man, Getty Sr. herself. And he initially said, no, I have 14 other grandchildren.
Ooh.
If I pay one penny now, then I will have 14 kidnapped grandchildren. We do not negotiate with terrorists. I added Thanks, that last man. Part, but that's the vibe. Good.
I mean, it's very much a, like, well, I have he doesn't come out and say it, but it's like, I have 13 other ones. I can lose one.
Yeah, it's you see that Scotch-Irish background come into play. But also there's this implication that he's doing the math and he's saying it's not 17 million once. It's at minimum 17 million times 13, knowing that the price might get higher each time.
He's doing a risk assessment.
Yeah, cost-benefit, yeah.
Yeah, with human capital. Family, you know? I mean, geez,
even the mob wild. Is confused. Even the mob is shocked. Confused.
They didn't realize they've inserted themselves in the middle of the most dysfunctional family right. ever. And they're just like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And man, it gets weirder, worser, better. I don't know how to even say it.
It's
bizarre.
It's so surreal. It's like, this is not a funny situation, but you could make a dark comedy out of the conversations they're having because our guy Cinquanta from the Italian mob there, he is the point person to be on the phone with Gail. And he just doesn't get it. He's like, this guy is that rich and he's not going to save his own grandson. And he goes, who is this so-called grandfather? You know, how can he leave his own flesh and blood in the plight that your poor son is in? Here is the richest man in America. And you tell me he refuses to find just 10 miliardi for his grandson's safety? Signora, you take me for a fool.
Yeah. And that's the thing. He's literally... by refusing to pay or to even help or to even entertain the idea that this could be real, he's putting his family in a worse situation where now they're potentially at risk because the mob thinks that they're jerking them around.
Oh, yeah. They don't believe it because family is so important to the mob, right? This does not compute. And
we might be bloodthirsty criminals, but damn it if we miss family dinner.
Right. We like our kids. What is wrong with you Americans? So he ends up pleading with her. You know, it's almost like a negotiation.
Help me help you.
Exactly. Kind of exactly. Yeah. He's saying, because he doesn't see himself as a bad guy. He sees himself as doing his job. And so he says, look, please find some way to get the money. We're too far down this road. And I have to tell you, the people who are holding your son are going to harm him if we don't get this cash, this ransom. And then Gail does the next natural thing and says, prove to me that my son is alive. He says, okay, tell me questions only the golden hippie would know the answers to. I'll get those answers and I'll call you back. And he does. So he proves that this kid's alive. And this kidnapping goes on for months and months. Paul gets very sick. Cinquanta even calls Gail when the boy falls ill and says, hey, your son's not doing well. What do I do to keep him healthy? And it's not like a threat. He's like asking, how do I make sure your kid doesn't die?
Yeah, this person, this go-between is a pretty sympathetic character in this whole saga, weirdly, right? She says, keep him warm. He's always a bit of a sickly child. So again, like you said, Ben, this goes on for months and months. Some of the kidnappers involved in this lose interest or they're just kind of like, I'm ready to get paid. So they actually sell out their stakes in the whole deal. So I didn't even know that was possible. It's like betting on futures, right. Or something. Yeah, you're selling their positions, right? And this is a problem because it seems as though maybe some of these folks were more loosely connected to the mafia and a little less hardcore, and they were kind of trying to play it out without doing any serious harm to the boy. But at this point, they sell their positions to folks that are a little more connected to the mob. And also a little less friendly, let's just say.
Yeah, it's like with debts, a lot of times you'll see this happen where it's like, especially if someone goes in like bankruptcy, they'll sell like the person's debt off and the other people will get like, 15 cents off the dollar. But that's what I'm seeing here. And it's like, wow, I didn't know that happened. It's kind of morbid to think about.
Yeah.
That's super morbid.
Yeah. Imagine a few of the original guys were saying, hey, look, this is taking a while. We sell loose cigarettes to get around taxes. That's our level of crime, guys. And usually, our street hustles are done like that week or that month. This has been a journey. All the best. Good luck. The new team, as you mentioned, are much more brutal. And they say, okay, we're going to make good on these threats. They must, the Gettys must be bluffing because they don't know we're serious. So Paul is still tied up. He's still being held hostage. It is a chilly October morning. They wake him up. They give him a ton of brandy, I think it was. They get him day drunk. They give him a haircut. And he doesn't know what's happening. I imagine he's bonded a little with some of these guys. And maybe even the original kidnappers left because they were getting too close. But Paul gets a bad vibe, even though he's drunk, when people start rubbing alcohol behind his right ear. And they gave him a towel to bite on. And with a razor, no anesthetic, they cut off his ear, staunch the wound, and mail the ear to a newspaper.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some Reservoir Dogs stuff right there. Yeah, mail the ear to the newspaper. Maybe that'll get him to finally pay. Because again, these more roughneck folks that have entered the chat, and they're now slicing off ears.
Yeah, and the family didn't learn about this for quite a while because the Italian Post Service was on strike. So the ear didn't get to him for quite some time. When it did arrive, Getty Sr., the old man himself, calls a family council, and he strikes a unique deal. He strikes a deal with the kidnappers, but then also with his own estranged son, Junior. They haggle, they negotiate the ransom down to $3 million from $17 million. The old man says, I'll pay $2 million, and his lawyers told him that number because it was the maximum amount he was allowed to write off on his taxes.
Jeez.
So, man. Like, not a penny more.
deeper and deeper, this guy.
That's not the worst part, though.
No, it's not the worst part. And then he makes his son, JP3's father, pay the remaining $1 million, which he doesn't have because reasons that we've discussed. But in his benevolence, JPG decides he'll loan it to his son at a very reasonable 4% interest rate. Jeez. He's turning this into an opportunity to get a little juice out of his son. Really quick, Ben, if I may ask, it's a trope, you know, in crime fiction drama to send a toe or an ear or whatever, you know, and like in, what is it? The Big Lebowski, you know, it's like, you want a toe? I can get you a toe. How do you know it's his ear? How are they, like, how is that such a important proof of life? Maybe it would have been combined with a picture of the severed. It's just, I don't know. It's a weird flex. Mm. I get that it's an intimidation method, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not an especially unique ear, you could say, right? Other than skin color and maybe age of the skin, unless there were some notable disfigurations or abnormalities. But maybe it was an honor among thieves situation. We do know that the plan was a success. The Golden Hippies' 5 months of captivity ended in the pre-dawn hours of December 15th, 1973. A truck driver found him, and he was just by the side of the road, waving his arms in the universal distress sign. And he said, I need to get to a telephone to call my mom. I'm Paul Getty. Can I have a cigarette?
Pouring rain, by the way, very dramatic. I'm picturing this scene from this Time magazine article describing it. It's very cinematic. I imagine that it's played out in the film we were talking about, All the Money in the World, which I really am now super intrigued to see. Yeah, may I have a say? He's very polite.
Sure.
He hasn't, his manners have not waned in this time in captivity. He supposedly is quoted as saying, may I have a cigarette, please?
He seemed like a nice guy, all told. He does make it to a police station, and they see that his right ear is missing, and he answers some questions. It's clearly him. He survives a kidnapping, which not everybody does. He goes on to marry a friend of his from before his ordeal, one Martin Zacher, and this happens 2 years later, so he's 18 years old. Remember, this kid's only 16. He's going through a lot. He spends almost half of a year locked up by the mob. And the problem is that when he marries at 18, he has automatically disqualified himself from a stake in his grandfather's trust because he married too young. He and his wife have one son, who many of us may know as the actor Balthazar Getty. And then when old man Getty does finally pass away, 1976, he leaves his son, John, that's the junior, right? He leaves him $500, and his grandson, who had been kidnapped, gets nothing. Nothing.
You get nothing! Good day, sir!
Exactly, just like Gene Wilder and Willy Wonka. And things get rough. Things get rough for the Golden Hippie. He tries to adjust to life after this trauma. He drinks too heavily. He becomes addicted to drugs. He eventually tries to reform. He tries to make a career for himself as an actor, but he gets liver failure, and a stroke leaves him pretty handicapped, partially blind, and quadriplegic, and unable to speak, but mentally fit as a fiddle. And that is a certain level of hell, is it not? You know,
that locked in,
he's imprisoned again.
Your body, yeah, being a cage, you know, like that Arcade Fire song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's insane. I can't imagine. I would just, I don't think, I don't know if I, I'm sorry. I'm at a loss for words. Just, I think it's one of my deepest fears is to end up in a situation like that.
Yeah. And his mom cares for him until he passes away. When he dies, his son Balthazar says, he taught us how to live our lives and overcome obstacles and extreme adversity, and we shall miss him dearly. It's weird, too, because we know that the old man, Getty Sr., was a known philanderer, in addition to being a miser and parsimonious, right? That's another word that Max and I were looking up synonyms for cheapskate. And he had a lot of lovers in addition to his five wives, but business always won out. One of the quotes that really stood out to me, a former wife of his next said, business was his first love. But the quote that really stands out is he said this, a lasting relationship with a woman is only possible if you are a business failure. Sir, I disrespectfully disagree.
No joke. It's priorities, man. You know? It's like, what are you in this for? You know, we only have one life. It's just a weird way of getting your head twisted up in like this idea of legacy and this idea of, you know, living on in some sort of perpetual way. It's such a kind of pompous way of thinking, you know? I mean, it's like, yeah, we know Getty, we know the name. Do I think of John Paul Getty? Do I even know what the guy looks like? You know, all I know about him was that he was kind of a jerk and was awful to his family. So it's like, what's in a name, you know? I don't know. I don't get it. I'm also not a gajillionaire because I do understand the concept of enough never being enough, mm-hmm. you know? And people that can't reconcile that will never be happy because it's all just about stacking and collecting and hoarding. And it's like, you know, you get to a certain point where you make a certain amount of money. Statistically, I think they say it's like $70,000.
72, yeah.
$72,000. Like beyond that, everything's just kind of extra. And then you start to create new problems for yourself. And then you start to be like, oh, well, I need to keep up with this mm-hmm. other person that I'm comparing myself to, or, you know, compete somehow with whomever, you know, with this idea of status and, you know, opulence. It's just, it's a slippery slope and it can really wreck you.
Well, that's the thing too. I mean, this has always stood out to me. For a lot of people, happiness is defined by external factors. There are studies that clearly indicate, you know, if you work at a job and you make $12,000 a year and all your coworkers make $12,000 a year, you'll be all right. You'll think, I'm doing okay, I can do better. But if one of them starts making $12,500 a year, you'll be incredibly unhappy. And the same thing if you work at a place where everybody makes $200,000 a year and one person makes $201,000 a year, you will be incredibly unhappy unless you always will be, unless you learn to define happiness in terms of internal variables, right? You are the main character of your story and everybody else is the main character of their own. But with that, lest we, I'll step off the soapbox. I just feel strongly about this. Lest we start moralizing or over-moralizing, maybe we end it here. Money doesn't always make people happy. There are some great TED Talks about this as well. I'm also thinking of RSA Animate. It's a great series. Have you guys seen that? I'm going to send it to you along with that other Saturday Night Live sketch you mentioned in part one. Didn't forget. I'll send that right after we get out here. But I think this story does tell us a lot about the dangers of success, how success can be defined. And gosh, yeah, just what a wild ride. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. Thanks to alleged Getty descendant, super producer Max Williams, for letting us tell your family's story. I think, maybe, allegedly.
Sure, allegedly.
Yeah, as long as you put enough allegedlys in there, we're good to go. Thanks also to Alex Williams, who composed this track. Thanks to research associate, Dr. Zach. Who else, Noel? Oh, and thanks to you, sir.
Oh, thanks to you as well. Chris Rossiotis here in spirit, of course. Quister? Did you say something about the Quister?
Not yet.
Yeah, there he is. When's he coming back? We should I don't know, burn some sort of demonic herb. And perhaps that'll attract his attention.
Mm-hmm. I hope he hasn't been kidnapped.
Same. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Ladies and gentlemen. We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.